Okay, thank you so much. Amanda, that excellent presentation. I was accusing Bill Robinson that you used my slides, but it is definitely a different set of data. Bill has already stated very well a lot of the reason we're doing this, that consumers want to know. You've heard several discussions about a cotton leads program. That's a cotton leads, meaning U.S., Australia, we're taking leadership in responsible cotton production. And part of that leadership is a commitment for continual improvement. And I think Bill's going to wrap it up today about, well, what does this really mean, continual improvement? My presentation being two parts. The first part will be a summary of some 20 some odd fields in Louisiana where we're establishing a baseline. Bill Robinson mentioned the need for a baseline. We're beginning to develop that for these fields. Admittedly, early on, we were trying to see if it would even work. So some of this data was back in the early days when we were testing the calculator, excuse me, to verify it was something we'd want to take to the field. Fields in northeast Louisiana. Actually, there's one field in, he's a Louisiana producer, but he got a field across the line in Arkansas. It has a diversity of management practices from no-till to conventional and from dry land to irrigated. Amanda talked about the land use efficiency. These are yields. Land use efficiency means how well can you do. I've grouped these for the purpose of this discussion. I did do one thing different. I started at the low yields on the left and the raising. And these, I will keep this same relative ranking for these fields, a relative position for these fields for the rest of this first part of the presentation, except for a couple of cases that I will discuss. When it comes to soil loss, notice there's a diversity of soil loss at high end of 7 tons per acre from one field down to 0 tons per acre in one field there. Notice the trend line for yield, which is superimposed on that. There's no association with that whatsoever, in case people wanted to know. As far as the soil conditioning index, there's no relationship between the soil conditioning index and the yields. However, when it comes to soil conditioning index, there's very dramatic relationship. Well, of course it's dramatic. That's the way the program was designed. Between the higher the level of intensity of tillage, the lower the soil conditioning index. The mulch till and the no-till, that puts it up into the positive range. And that was on those fields in Louisiana. Did I go backwards or did I? Okay. How much time did you take off of me going backward on here? As far as the total energy in BTUs per acre, now this is total energy for the acre. I'm looking at a top around 7 million BTUs there. I think Amanda had some up to 10 million BTUs. 10 million BTUs, that's equivalent to about 75 gallons of diesel. Understand that's embedded. That's not only what goes on in the tractor and the tillage, and but also what goes in the manufacturing, the fertilizers. As Bill indicated, this is embedded. All of the energy is in that. No particular relationship between the total energy and the yield. However, when you look at it on a yield per pound, there is obviously a relationship because since you're dividing yield, that's the denominator. The bigger the denominator, the smaller the number. If we had time, we could look at those various components. The red part, that's the fertilizer component, on up to the drying is the yellow part, the crop protectants. Surprisingly enough, this is from a part of the country we use a lot of crop protection, insecticides, herbicides, and others. That's a relatively small part of the total energy. I think I must have this mouse upside down. I keep hitting the wrong one. Increased yield for irrigation water is interesting. The similarities that Amanda had on hers and what I was finding. I had one field there. They got an additional 200 pounds increase over dry land. Now, admittedly, that can be fudged because the dry land, that's the difference in the irrigated and the dry land. The number from the dry land, that's what the farmer said I would have made had I not irrigated. So that number is influenced to a great extent by whatever choice he puts in there, he or she puts in. Greenhouse gas emissions. On a per pound basis, we are looking at numbers in the neighborhood of 1.2, 1.6. I think Ed and some of the reports that you've seen claiming that cotton requires 7.5, you know, some much, much larger greenhouse gases per pound. We've got the numbers here, which eventually will really help us in this cotton leadership position. This is really a greenhouse gas total per acre, as indicated in the title there. Again, no particular relationship between yield and total greenhouse gas emissions. I use this as a breakdown of about seven of the fields to show how even the components of the various inputs there have on the greenhouse gases, but not necessarily predictable. Water quality, this is a busy slide. In fact, this is from a different data set. I use that for an example. There were some cases where after the irrigation and conservation measures were applied, such as on the right hand, the water quality actually went down. So it's not always predict. I would suspect what happened. They made very few changes on conservation and a lot of maybe bad practices on their irrigation in that case. Now, the second part of this presentation, I was looking at case studies at several fields on a farmer's field in Louisiana. I selected, in this case, three particular fields that he has already implemented conservation practices. You know, ideally, you'd like to look before and after. Well, actually, I'm looking at after and before. So we know what the data is now because he's put in these conservation measures, and then we're simulating what it was prior to that. So I'll get this down right within 7 minutes, or else I'm gone. Okay. On one field, I'm calling field 27. Actually, that's the name he gives it. Before roughly 2003, conventional tillage, a 150-acre field included a highly erodible area, land which he said was costing him money, not productive, but his father-in-law, who was running it, insisted that he planted it right up to the edge of the bayou. And to calculate this, I said the average slope of this 150-acre field was 1.5%. No riparian buffer to clean the water before it gets to the bayou. After, he did employ no-till practices. He took out 50 of those acres, put it into natural vegetation. The area that he's cultivating is on a relatively flat area, and it has a riparian buffer. This is a result of some 10 or 12 years later, natural vegetation, not growing a lot of cotton there, but he did get some conservation support from NRCS. A good part of his farm there is going into what we would call ecosystem services. He's getting money for this. He's making money. In some cases, actually not growing cotton. In order to evaluate how well these did, I fixed the yield. We all know that yields are not the same, but in order to evaluate, test the effect of these practices, I assumed that the yield and the inputs were the same, so we could, if we saw a change, we would know it had something to do with the practices themselves. In this case, that field that we just looked at went from a soil loss of roughly 9.5 tons per acre down to the right after these conservation measures, roughly a ton per acre. Soil carbon went from a negative to a positive. Greenhouse gases certainly went in the correct direction. Energy went down, mainly related to the going from conventional to no-till, and the water quality index improved. Now, this is actually replicated in other cases, but this particular field is a really good, already ideal field, flat field, conventional tillage, roughly 250 acres, but had no riparian buffer, no filter strips, no cover crops, and he is employing the main difference here are cover crops and grass filter strips. You can see in the background this fall, the wheat was interseeded in on cotton stubble. The effect here, assuming a 1,000-pound yield both years, again, the soil loss, it was within the tolerable level already anyway, but it went from 3.5 tons per acre down to 1.3. Soil carbon went in the good direction, primarily because of the cover. No. Also, not only the cover crop, but also the tillage method. Energy was reduced. Water quality index went up dramatically. Then the last field I'll discuss, this was a field through the middle of this field. There was a gully going through the middle. It was planted up to the edge of the edge of the bio. His changes there is that he allowed the bio to go back into native vegetation, planted filter strips, and actually had a sedimentation basin at the end, which I did not simulate in this program. You can see something to the effect here of the type of field here. The type of, in this case, actually this was a different field, but this was a new field he just planted last year for the first time. He planted wheat in the as filter strips. He would put permanent grasses in there going into the future. But the net effect, he went from 13 tons per acre down 5 tons per acre. Now, 5 tons per acre is still a little bit higher than the T-value, but dramatic improvement in the direction of going in soil loss. And you can see these other variables. Soil carbon went in the right direction. Energy went in the right direction, and the water quality index. Now, what next? 2 minutes to tell you about some of his plans now. I've got to figure out a way to simulate this, and it's going to take some involvement from NRCS to help us determine this. But he's decided for compatibility of his equipment, he wants to get everything on 60-inch beds. He plant 2 30-inch rows of cotton on these 60-inch beds, or 4 15-inch soybean, or whatever, 15-inch beds of wheat. I'm sorry, 7.5-inch wheat. This reduces his power needs because he's not throwing up those beds for each individual. He's throwing up every other bed. He estimates his energy, his power needs about 67%. I don't know where he got this number, but I trust him, about what they were originally. And his energy need for throwing up those beds is about that same amount. So the water management should be improved. These are somewhat permanent beds that he's got, and give him into some type of a no-till or stale bed configuration. So this is what it looks like. I haven't tried to run any simulations on this. It'd be really guessing at what that would be. And again, that's where I need NRCS involvement to help us on those management systems. So I did a 26 seconds left. I did just a simulation, just doing scenarios of changing only one component. Now, obviously yield affects everything. Soil loss, going from a conventional to a mulch tillage, cut the rate of erosion roughly by half. Soil carbon going from conventional was at minus 0.6 to a mulch in the fall as a plus 2.1. And the mulch in the spring actually, with the spring disking, actually improved. Same with energy and greenhouse gases and water quality. So thank you very much. Well, the last slide is just a reminder that yield is really important. So if you're looking for continual improvement, it's going to depend on our yields continuing to go up also. That's it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.